Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good.
Cool.
How are you?
Good. Everything's great.
So just quick introduction. I'm Aaron. I do the afternoon show here at Regina's Rock Station, 104.9 The Wolf.
I've been there before.
And you're coming back, too, which we're happy to have you.
Yeah. How's everything in Regina?
It's good, man. It's summertime, so you got to capitalize on being outdoors because in a few months, you won't want to leave the house.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's awesome. We're gearing up for a great festival here in as well as you're gearing up to go out on tour across Canada later this year with two exceptional Canadian bands as well as the Headstones with the Tea Party and Finger 11. But, Hugh,
yeah,
you got no stop in Saskatchewan on that tour, man.
That's promoters.
I know.
We usually always stop there. That's why I found it odd, too. But I think that's why we're going to come and play there ourselves in the summer just to make sure that we hit Saskatchewan.
And I was going to say, we'll forgive you on that because you are making a stop in Regina next month, actually, at Shake the Lake, August 23rd.
Yeah.
It's going to be
Regina's
good.
Regina's always been a killer rock and roll town, always. Like, I've been playing there for years. It goes off. I even back in the 90s when we played there, we'd roll into town kind of hungover and have a couple of cigarettes and bum cigarettes from the crowd and start playing. And, you know, we've got those same fans, those same six people who showed up at that show then keep showing up.
So the three groups, Finger 11, Headstones, and the Tea Party, you guys have never toured together throughout all these years. That's absolutely wild.
We've played gigs together, but not all three of us at the same time. So we played with Finger 11. We used to play back in like the early 90s before they got a record deal. They were always really talented dudes and could always write songs. And the Tea Party, and we go back to, I remember being in the studio with them getting high and drinking and listening to each other's records in the 90s. So it's like these dudes are real rock and rollers. That's the magic. They can do it in the studio and they can do it live, and they've done it for decades. It's exciting to play with them.
Hell yeah, man. And you guys have as well. I mean, look at that. You stood the test of time and throughout, you know, almost 40 years of a musical career.
Fuck time, Aaron. Fuck time.
Time is only a number.
It's just been great. It's been great. You know, and this country's got a great rock and roll spirit and always has been. Always has had. And so it's like, as you said, it's like nothing I like better than, we don't golf. So the summer is all about playing tours and touring and playing shows and hanging out and seeing the country. And so I look forward to every Canadian summer.
Golfing's for the rich people, Hugh.
Yeah.
So what do you notice is the biggest difference in touring now in 2025 compared to when you first started out? I'm sure there's some big changes.
I mean, you know, the sound systems are better, just quite frankly. It's like you can hear everything. You know, I like the venues. It's just everything's kind of, you know, the band's gotten bigger. We've got more records. The crowds are bigger. It's just kind of, you know, rock and roll has got a real momentum behind it. And it has had for years. But, you know, we were struggling when we were coming up in the 90s and making our name and releasing records and hustling and playing everywhere and anywhere. And now it's gotten to a place where, you know, we're established, we play great gigs, they're well run, the sound is great, the transport's great, the bands we play with are great, and the crowds are excited to be there. So it's like, in so many ways, it's better than it's ever been.
Yeah, you got to keep on the grind when you first start out.
Well,
any
you
band
do, and you got to continue to play the cities that care about you. And so, like, that's why we've always played Regina. It's like Regina was one of the first cities. As I say, when we started playing, there were 8 or 9 people. But we played there consistently over years and years, and people know what they get. You know, we don't show up to kind of phone it in. You know, we leave everything on the stage, and we come to rock. We don't come to just go, hey. And we've got friends there. It's like we've played there so many years that we've, you know, you develop relationships with people you know as friends and family, and I mean, scored drugs from once upon a time. So it's like there's a million different things.
Yeah.
But it's just, there are certain towns in this country that I love because they embraced us first before videos or airplay or anything else. That was a live performance. And then it's a joy in many ways to go back.
Yeah, awesome, man. We're excited to have you back. I know, like you said, Regina's an awesome town. We appreciate rock music, and we're going to eat you up there.
On the Wolf Rock. Everyone knows the Wolf Rock.
That's right. I love it. I want to talk about your new album. You got a new album coming out later in September called Burn All the Ships. And where did you generate the idea for the title of that album?
It's like how I've moved forward in, you know, movies and televisions, and how the band has moved forward. And Burn All the Ships is like, you know, pirates or anybody, when they go, fuck it, we're never going back. It's like, there's only one way forward. And so that's what it is. There is no going back. There is no plan B. There is no, you know what, we can go home. Like, this is it. So that's what I say about, we put everything on the field. We come to play. And, you know, we aren't kind of holding back anything, or what do some people say? You know, we don't pace ourselves. You know, it isn't a sport. It isn't a game. It's passion. It's you know, rock and roll and movies are the only things that ever really, truly matter to me. And so we that's what it means. It's like, I'm not going to go get a fucking job doing something else, because that's it.
Yeah. At this point, you know, in your career, how do you prepare for writing a new album? Like, there's obviously different inspiration.
You know, it just comes to you. You don't fucking, if we were preparing, it means like we've got some kind of, you know, plan, like, you know, well, here's what we're going to do. That's what business people do. We don't do that. We just either write, we're the biggest fans of our band. So we either write something and go, you know, we thought, you know, most of the time it's like, we figure that's pretty good. Okay. We're done for a while. And then we'll have one song that's, starts something, and then we work on it, and then that puts us in the same room together, and then the next thing you know, there's two or three songs, and then, you know, there's 10. But that just goes back to the addictive nature of rock and roll.
Yeah,
you know, you could use that in terms of having a beer or doing a line or anything. You know, we just got together, we thought we'd just have one, and that's how the band works. It's still the addiction of whatever is in our DNA is now manifested through rock and roll.
Yeah, you can't get enough for it, right?
No, you can't. You know, you either love it, or, you know, or you've been faking it.
I want to comment on your single with Dallas Green, because we've been spinning it here since it dropped. Navigate. Outstanding song, man. Yeah. I never thought I'd hear a Headstones and Dallas Green song in my life together, but it's amazing, and I want to ask who approached who to collaborate on that one.
That's why it's great. We had a mutual friend who was the engineer. You know, we were in the studio, and Dynalone Records is across the streets from the studio. And, you know, Luke Schindler was the engineer for a bunch of Dallas's stuff and, you know, Alexis on Fire. And he'd been the engineer for the last couple of Headstones albums. And we just, you know, when you're making records, it's just such an intimate thing. This dude gets all your stupid jokes. He understands who you are. He wants the best for you in recording. And we were leaving the studio, and Dallas had come in to do some overdubs on one of his things and asked who Luke was working with. And the thing is, you really love these people, like the engineers, because they become part of your family. So Luke said, I'm working with the Headstones. And it's like, well, what's that like? And he says, it's like the third record we've made, and it's exceptional. And Dallas listened to it and said, that, you know, if they want any help or they want anything, just tell them I'm across the street. And so that's how it started. And then the next thing you know, he's just an exceptionally talented person and a producer in his own right. And just to hear what he could come up with in a song that we had already constructed was fascinating to watch from my point of view as a songwriter. And just a great dude. I felt like I knew him for years. We had a mutual friend, Gord Downie, and it's just like, we just hit it off. And just a kind, decent, he's a gentleman, really. And then the next thing you know, we you know, had got a record deal with Dynalone, you know, and the rest is history. You're playing it on the radio in Regina on the Wolf,
and people are soaking it in. Like, I love it. It's one of the best songs I've heard this year for sure. And that, I'm not bullshitting you with that.
Well, it should be the best, but one of the best. I'll take it, Aaron.
I appreciate it. I got a question. I know I don't want to keep you here all day because you're busy.
No, I have lots of time, dude. You know, I love what I do. I'm not like fucking waiting to rush you off so I can get back to fucking, you know, drinking coffee.
Yeah, I've had interviews where the now, or whoever's with them, the manager comes on, we got to cut this off, you know? So I do appreciate it. It goes a long way.
Or they just give you generic answers like, yes, we will see you on the 29th.
Or they're,
great to rock there in Regina.
Yeah, or they're signing autographs while they're trying to answer your question. I'm like, oh, man, okay.
Yeah, disrespectful. What do you got? I got time.
Okay, is there a moment in a Headstone show that never gets old for you, you know, even after all these performances that you've had?
It never gets, I mean, things like Tweeter and the Monkey Man never gets old, or the harmonica never gets old, because you see the audience and you see their memories and that kind of, there are certain things, or when we start a new song, like every single time we play a song nobody's heard in there, and you can see that, you know, for example, Once Upon a Time, Something Stands for Nothing was a new song for us when we were playing live. And Once Upon a Time, Smile and Wave was a new song that was sneaking in. And a couple of years ago, it was Devils on Fire. And then we played Navigate last year, nobody heard it. And so we have a new song this year. And so it's a combination of those. And just to see how well we can play Tweeter the Monkey Man, or, you know, harmonica breaks, or our new songs, and this year's Navigate. And just to see that the music lovers who come out now, I guess this goes back to your other question, is they are a group of people who love lyrics with music, not just, oh, they love the song, or they've heard the song a lot on the radio. What I find is with our fans, our lyrics aren't an algorithm, and that goes back to why Dallas Green could get into it. Those are real things that we have written ourselves to entertain ourselves and tell our own stories and express ourselves. And, you know, that's when it resonates. These are people who grew up listening to all sorts of singer-songywriters and, you know, guys in the Hip or the Doors, the Stones, or whatever it is. And that's, I think, what is significant and never gets old, is how the lyrics. Can you hear that fucking bird?
Oh, I can't. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I can hear it. And I'm like, dude, you interrupted our interview.
Yeah. But it is those kind of things. It's like, and if it got old and it's just too burnt out, there was a time in the 90s, the late 90s, 2000s, where it did get old, where, you know, we were inundated by the Spice Girls and the Backstreet Boys and boy bands, and the world had changed for a couple of years, and we're just like, fuck it. You know, this is no fun. We're not doing it unless we love it.
Yeah.
And we were burnt out. And then, you know, things change. It's like we still wrote songs. And that is, I guess, what the end result is. And that is the common denominator between us and Dallas Green or Metric, for that example. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people, musicians, that just keep their heads down and do it for the pure art of songwriting. And then if it translates into live performance and rock and roll and touring, that's just an extension of you know, how dedicated you are to your craft.
Yeah, you gotta love what you do, right?
You got it.
No, I was gonna say after the bird shut its mouth there. as a songwriter, where do you do your most writing? Maybe you're outdoors in your little zen and writing your music, or do you...
It comes to you anytime, yeah. And a lot of times it's with the band,
yeah.
Because we'll be playing something else, and I've done it since, you know, we have a song called Unsound off Teeth and Tissue, and sometimes because I listen to everything, you know, like I heard that bird, whatever, you know, and so the band can think that they're not playing because we finish rehearsing a song, and then their minds, Trent or Tim, will just noodle something, and I'm like, always, what's that? And it's their subconscious. They don't know. I don't even know what I just did. And so then we started recording things like that, because they're talented fucking guys, and I'm always looking for melodies and things I haven't heard, because I used to collect records, so I have I've just listened to music always for years and years and years, so I'm always looking for something that's different, and Tim and Trent usually come up with something. Or, for example, this time with Navigate, Steve Carr, Trent's brother, had that keyboard line, that intro, and I'm like, what is that? And then you just build on it, you know? It's they can come anywhere, but the lyrics are easier for me, because I usually have stuff written down or something that makes me laugh or something I think is, you know, interesting to me, and then the music is, it can come from anywhere.
Oh, I love that. And that's, for those that are going to be listening to this interview and are aspiring to be musicians or songwriters, they can take that and, you know, take any type of life event and throw it down on a piece
of
paper.
You write it down on a piece of paper. I used to work at the hospital for sick children, and I'd have, I was like an orderly, and sometimes you got to go and pick up blood work from one place and walk the halls and pick it up from the different places and drop it off at the lab. And I wrote songs like Judy there. I wrote songs like Absolutely just while I was at work. And then I got a record deal. You know, I was writing those first songs for that first album in my 20s and dreaming of getting a record deal. But I do the work, and that's what it is. It's like, even now, anybody's trying to do it, you got to put the time in. You know, you got to put the time in consistently to work on a song, even if it's terrible. You know, just follow that idea until you either think there's something there or give up and find something else, or there's a piece that you can cannibalize and
yeah.
put somewhere else, you know?
If there's one artist, now that you've collaborated with Dallas Green, is there one artist out there, Hugh, that you want to write with or do a song together?
No, I mean, I never think in those terms, but I will tell you that the most satisfying has been this last record with Emily Haynes from Metric and Dallas Green from City and Color. It's the band. It's like, I think we can do it ourselves, but this album has opened me up to, the work Dallas has done and Emily, I would work with them again. That is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I mean, there's nobody else. That would be a dream. I know them. They have killed it. And I would in a heartbeat work with either one of those two again.
Awesome. Well, maybe in the future we'll hear some new tracks from you guys as well. Finally, I just want to add to this before we close out. I'm a huge Trailer Park Boys fan. And when I found out that I was going to be interviewing you, I was like, man, I got to talk about the Trailer Park Boys movie back in the day. Ashtray Miner is one of the best quotes ever.
That was so long ago.
Yeah.
I remember it like yesterday, but it's funny because usually people don't drop that one. I'll hear a bunch of others on it. But that was fun. Those guys were great guys. You know, they hired me. They were good to me. I enjoyed the whole process. And, and the thing about Bubbles, he used to be in a band in the 90s when we were playing called Sandbox. And they had a big song out. They're talented guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what's his band now? The Shit Rockers? Is that?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's, yeah, pure Canadian talent there, like you guys as well.
100%. I appreciate your time. And thanks for playing the record.
You bet. All the best on the upcoming tour here. We're going to see you in Regina. It's at the solo show at Shake the Lake, August 23rd.
Yes.
We'll hope to maybe talk to you again in the future sometime, Hugh.
Yeah, man. Be good. Best of luck with everything, Aaron. Thank you.